Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and our guest today is Kamal Berwani, CIO of New York City's Health and Human Services and Executive Director of HHS Connect. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Nicole Gardner. Kamal, we hear a lot about collaboration and partnerships across government and within organizations outside of government in the private sector. What kinds of partnerships are you developing to improve the operations or the outcomes? And could you describe some specific success stories or perhaps points of pride that illustrate this approach in action?
In any large cross-boundary project, you have lots of stakeholders. So I've articulated earlier some of the stakeholders we have directly in the HHS domain. It's the agency commissioners, Deputy Mayor Gibbs, the mayor, obviously. And we also have related agencies like the Department of Education or the Department of Youth and Community Development that serve a large overlap of the population we serve in HHS. We also have other stakeholders that are the nonprofits that either function on our behalf or are not directly contracted by us but help with the same population of people. And then we have obviously the clients that we serve. So this it's a trying to get alignment again of the interests has been around really transparency and accountability of the people that we ask to do work, because this is a coordinated effort. This doesn't work, for example, if we're trying to get data from agency A to agency B and build interfaces. It takes work and effort on the agency's behalf. And if their CIO commits and doesn't deliver, then it slows down the whole project. So in many ways, it's been around transparency and accountability on both sides. And all of our governance structures, right down to project charters, actually formalize each stakeholder's roles and responsibilities in the continued success of the project. So even though it sounds maybe a bit regimented that we would actually have people sign charters, we do that because we want there to be no room for error. It's a very quick-paced, heavy accelerated project that has very short timelines, and that means all the different pieces have to work in coordination. And to orchestrate that coordination is often about really getting people in a room together to work well, but also to understand what their roles are. So we've taken that approach with partners. We've done that with internal people and organizations. And externally, we've started now communicating the message of HHS Connect to the third-party providers and to explain to them what their benefits would be, because really it would streamline their interactions with government around the HHS domain.
So I'd like to transition now to the future, Kamal, if I may. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges that your organization will encounter in the future? And how do you envision your office will need to evolve over the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
The issue of societal benefit and privacy, the balance, the intricate balance of what benefits society versus an individual's right, is going to be a continued theme on health and human service, especially when we get to things like the transmission of sensitive data, and that could be data around health, for example. So those will be, I think, sticky issues to work through, but very good ones. And the city has been very aggressive on for example, public health issues, whether it's the banning of smoking in certain public places, or whether it's been increasing tobacco tax, or banning trans fats, or doing a diabetes registry. We've been fairly progressive and aggressive when it comes to what we think the overall good for society is, and within line of what's reasonable of what an individual can expect. So I think the biggest challenge for HHS Connect is as we start to think about the ways that we can share data that would benefit society, can we do that within an alignment of an individual's right to privacy? I think will be our biggest challenge. Trying to align the data, even though we can figure out what the different data points are and link them together, we may still end up with one person having 5 addresses and 3 date of births. And trying to clean all that data up in a way that, again, respects the rights of the individual so we don't make bad decisions about their eligibility or their rights, I think will be an important part as well. Trying to get people to invest in that cleanup effort so we can synchronize and actually understand the person we're dealing with and what the real facts are. Is an investment in time and effort by the agencies that will pay dividends for everyone in the future. But that will be an ongoing challenge.
Now, I understand that you are a recipient of the Excellence in Technology Award Program, which honors the very best of New York City's IT staff and projects. First, can you tell us what does this award honor? And second, given such recognition, what emerging technologies hold the most promise for improving government IT? And if I may, just to be a little bit more specific, what might be your perspective on things such as open standards and open architectures and the availability of free systems such as Linux?
Well, receiving the ETAP, the Excellence in Technology Awards Program Award for the demonstrated leadership of IT for New York City was actually quite a surprise. I didn't expect it. It was a very welcome surprise, and I was very honored to have received it. And that happened about a year and a half ago at the annual awards program. But it really, I think, seeks to honor people who have had a deep commitment to technology and have had actually an impact to the city's landscape as it relates to technology. You know, my opinion on open systems and where that might go is pretty clear. It's I think there's a change in the way software is going to be sold. And there is a decomposition of software because of all the components that talk to each other. There is this on one side you have the open source, different people contributing towards a different operating system or a platform. On the other side you have the age-old technology vendors that try to send you an end-to-end solution. And often all those end-to-end solutions that the technology vendors have don't necessarily integrate very smoothly with each other. But there's a middle ground. And the middle ground is the ability to do a best-of-breed integration, which, again, has been hard due to lack of standards in the space. So I think the threat or the perceived threat on the behalf of the technology vendors that are the traditional technology vendors or who have been slow to adopt open systems motivates and moves them into a new world. And the perceived value of those allegedly free open systems also motivate and move organizations. But in reality, it's never free. Even if you get a free open system, you're still paying maintenance costs. And I'm not saying that that's not the right thing to do. I'm saying that there is no free lunch, especially not in New York City. And we are looking at different ways. We're trying to figure out what makes the most business sense. And because software has a one-time huge development cost and really no cost to distribute, just like in many ways music or other media, I think it pushes the healthy balance between the traditional technology vendors and the open system vendors to find a middle ground that makes sense for everyone.
Now, Mayor Bloomberg has been quoted as saying that he's always believed in the power of technology to make government more open and accessible. How does HHS Connect and your overall IT strategy aim to fulfill the mayor's vision?
Well, the very idea of opening new doors of access to government at the convenience of the client so they can communicate with us in the way they prefer is openness, is the very definition of openness and accessibility. And underlying to those two themes of openness and accessibility is really transparency and accountability, because when you can actually understand what's going on better across the way government serves you, again, just like in the case of the open systems and the technology vendors, creates the right balance between the people you're serving and the people who actually ask for the services. I mean, the typical example would be if people demand a higher level of service, if it was very easy for government to articulate what the cost of that delivery would be and then allow people to choose whether that is worth it for them, I think we'd get to a lot better alignment of expectations versus actual performance. Because clients actually demand a lot from government, and government does its best to actually meet all those demands. And in the cases where we don't meet everyone's demands, we should be very clear in terms of what it takes to meet those demands.
So, Kamal, you've clearly had a very successful career, both in the public space, in the private space. And I noticed at the very beginning you started your career in public service and you're back now in public service. What advice would you give to someone out there who's perhaps starting their career and is thinking about public service?
I think public service is a great place to start a career. I was able to, at a young age in government, be exposed to a variety of complex issues that you just don't see at any one corporation. Even though there are corporations larger than New York City, very few in the world actually would be larger, but even though they are, they don't serve across, they don't have the operational impact and the diversity of New York City, where you can deal with things like public safety or health and human services and all the complexity that that has, or environmental protection or economic development. So if you start in government, you actually understand a very complex thing at a very young age, and you get exposed to a lot of things. And because government's always looking to bring in new leaders, I think government allows you to have a greater sense of responsibility and a greater sense of mission, and actually allows you to do a wide variety of things that you just wouldn't be able to experience anywhere else.
Sounds like you wouldn't trade that start for anything.
No, I actually credit everything that happened to me in my life afterwards based on what I learned when I was just 17 years old as a high school intern.
That's fantastic. Kamal, that's wonderful advice. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time here today. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule, but more importantly, Nicole and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the city of New York and its constituents in your many IT roles over the years.
Thank you, Al. It's been a pleasure being on the program. For those of you who are listening who want to see what Access NYC and what HHS Connect looks like and feels like, you're welcome to come on online to www.nyc.gov/accessnyc, or for that matter, just nyc.gov, so you can see our approach to online delivery. I'd also like to thank Mayor Bloomberg and Deputy Mayor Gibbs for their continued leadership and support for HHS Connect, as well as my dedicated team and staff, because leaders are never born alone, and they don't usually die alone. And we have a great team, and all the success we've had in the project so far has really been due to not just a large part, but completely to the dedicated team around me.
Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Kamal Berwani, CIO of New York City's Health and Human Services and Executive Director of HHS Connect. My co-host has been Nicole Gardner, IBM's Public Sector Social Services Practice Leader. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.